Mike, I'm looking outside. The snow is beginning to melt. We're flirting with spring arriving, which means...
time to look at planning summer travel.
And if you visit national parks often or have never been to a national park before, then you know how time-consuming it is to research everything involved with planning a trip to a national park, from the hiking trails to permits to campsites to accommodations. There's so much involved.
Don't spend months endlessly searching, trying to build the perfect trip when you can do it all with the Moon Travel Guide.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical and sustainable travel. They are committed to the national parks and ensure that all of their guides are up to date with the most recent and most helpful info for travelers.
And we are so excited about the newest updated edition of the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, Hiking, Camping, and Wildlife. In this guide, outdoor expert Becky Lomax takes you through everything you need to see, know, and understand about these two neighboring national parks.
From the top experiences, driving directions, itineraries, accommodations, local businesses, restaurant recommendations, and without a doubt, the best trail info for hiking trails, this Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton has you covered.
For more information and to purchase the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, be sure to visit moon.com.
Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
Little Handsome has a natural obsession.
What's that?
Isn't that the start of one of the verses for Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls?
Oh. I didn't
hear it
in the melody.
You really, like, you froze.
I didn't know what you were talking
about. Right? I'm pretty
about.
Sure it's Little Handsome, isn't it? I don't know. We'll have to lyrically discover. Little Handsome has a natural obsession. And then the rest of it's lost on me.
It's Little Precious has a natural obsession.
I'm sorry. It's what? It's what?
It's Little Precious.
My
has a
precious.
Natural obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Because we're talking about waterfalls today,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are
but
the waterfalls?
I do want to hear TLC sung Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls in Gollum's voice now. It's got to happen. But another time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I need to hear that too. Mm-hmm. What are the rivers and the lakes that you stick to in your own life? So what are the waterfalls that you're not chasing?
God, this is a deep philosophical question. Wow, what are the waterfalls you're not chasing? We really took this in a direction I didn't anticipate
today. We don't
today.
Have to go here today.
I mean,
it is an early morning that we're recording
it
this.
It is. I mean, I think I've stopped chasing perfectionism, the waterfall of perfectionism,
mm-hmm.
you know? I've let that go. I don't know. This is tough. What if I let go?
That was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I think.
Yeah.
I've...
Expectation, I'm really working on letting that waterfall
aren't
go.
We all?
Yeah.
Oh, aren't we all?
Yeah.
Right? Letting go of expectation, I feel like the antidote to that is just become friends with disappointment.
Yeah.
Until you're like, oh,
honey,
I don't have to feel this anymore if I don't have this other thing. Anyway.
Friends with Disappointment is the title of my memoir.
It's not Friends with Kids. Mm-mm. It's Friends with Disappointment.
I mean, that also could be that title of that movie.
Friends with Kids. Oh, yeah.
Yikes. Mm-hmm. That was a rough ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That movie?
Oh, yeah. Sad.
Is that that's the
like
John
Kristen
Hamm
Wiig,
movie.
John Hamm.
Yeah, I saw that movie.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Jennifer, can't remember her name. She was with John Hamm forever. Maya Rudolph's in it. It's like the cast of Bridesmaids, because even the cop who is Kristen Wiig's, like...
It's Jennifer Westfeldt.
There we go. Even the cop that's in Bridesmaids is Maya Rudolph's husband in Friends with Kids.
Correct.
So it's like the cast of Bridesmaids was like, let's do something sad now. That's what that felt like.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Yeah, it was a really sad film. Megan Fox is in it. We've ended up on a very interesting mm-hmm. place here in this cold open.
We have.
Let me ask you this question. When it comes to hiking waterfalls, we're shifting. Do you prefer to, like, if you get to a waterfall and there is an option to hike up to the top of the waterfall, is that something you always want to do?
It just depends on how steep that grade's going to be and if the trail is wild. So let's talk about, like, Yosemite Falls.
What?
Do we want to go back and hike up to the top of that?
I don't think I do.
It's a rough one. It's a 10 spot for us. But, like, Vernal and Nevada Falls were great to hike both of those.
Oh, sure.
you know?
Sure.
I think it just depends. Some falls are smaller than others. Sometimes it's nice to be at the bottom and to look up at the fall. Sometimes it's nice to be at the top and look down at the the crest of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get both of those things.
We recently did that in Iceland that we did in the winter.
You and I.
Must make a
There
path.
It is.
There we go. But we did climb up to the top of one of the waterfalls.
Skill Falls. Then we also went to the giant waterfall. Oh my God, we are all over the place today. We went to that giant waterfall, Gullfoss. Gullfoss is like the Niagara. Let's take that again. The Niagara of Iceland.
That's the one
we were at the top
we
of.
We went to the top
of. Yeah, because I don't think you can be at the bottom of it without being destroyed.
Well, we saw the side of it, and then we went up to the top. Oh, you mean
the giant one.
The big one.
The big one.
That had the visitor center nearby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did see that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then the smaller one, we did hike up to the top of that.
I mean, waterfalls are... I get why TLC talks about not chasing them, because they are a thing of beauty, and I just want to see them all the time. Like, that's a landmark that I look forward to.
I know, I do too.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Father, you will follow you there.
At the national parks.
At the national parks.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while hiking and exploring the land also known as Mount Rainier National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Cowlitz, Muckleshoot, Nisqually, Puyallup, Squaxin Island, Yakima, and Coast Salish people. Okay, so it was our last day in Mount Rainier.
For now, but we will be back this summer.
Yes, we will be back this summer. Mm-hmm. And so there will be more episodes on the other side of Rainier.
Mm-hmm. Sunrise. Come. Yeah. Because we just spent all of our time here in this visit in paradise, because the road to Sunrise only opened on this last day that we were here. It was sort of like, ooh, do we go to Sunrise on this last day? And we all sort of were like, no. We'll save it for the next time.
Yeah,
we kind of were like, let's stick to paradise and let's see what we can see over here. But this was earliest time, at least in Rainier, that we had to get up to get to the trailhead that we wanted to get to.
There was not a lot of parking at the trailhead that we wanted to go to.
No, and we had passed this trailhead 2 days in a row, going up the mountain to the visitor center and then coming back down. And we saw the lot, and it was like, conservatively, maybe like 10 to 12 spots.
Which
like,
is the lot with the trailhead for the Comet Falls Trail.
That's true. What we ended up doing is we got up at 5:15 that morning, which in relative speaking terms is not all that early, but for our travels in Rainier, it was. We packed everything up the night prior, and we made sure that for the most part, all we had to do was throw everything into the cars that we were taking. And we were taking two cars into the park this day, but only one up to the trailhead, so that we could be conscientious and kind hikers, because there was no need to take two spaces up at this very limited trailhead parking.
We ended up having a pretty big breakfast since it was our last day, so we were trying to finish off all of the food that we had in the kitchen. So yeah, anything that wasn't getting used could go home with Becky or Marcy, but we couldn't take anything necessarily with us on the plane that had already been open.
Well, and we couldn't really, we're going to be in Seattle for like 2 days, so we didn't really have a kitchen to store anything cold. So it was kind of like, let's make this a feast. We did our final walkthrough through our space, and we packed the car with our luggage and some of Becky's items, so we could end up leaving our car at Longmuir and just drive one of the cars up to the trailhead. So Longmuir is sort of like, there's like a lodgy visitor center here. It's also right near the Trail of Shadows hike, which we'll talk about at the end of this episode, but it's a big parking area that's not far into the park. We could leave one of the cars. And so that's exactly what we did.
This was our first time driving in a few days, which took some getting used to again, because we had not been driving.
But, no, because Becky and Marcy were doing all the driving here.
When we were so early, there was no one at the entrance station. Mm-hmm. So we just went right through mm-hmm. the station and we drove to Longmuir, hopped in the car, and continued up through the foothills of the mountains.
Wouldn't luck have it, there was a spot for us. And again, there's maybe about spaces for up to 15 in this lot. It's a narrow lot, like right off of the road. What a lot of people will end up doing as they discover that the lot is full is that they will park on the side of the park road if the trailhead parking is full, which the trailhead parking is, again, limited, but the roadside parking, I just remember it feeling like there was a drop to the right
You
were parked. Like, you had to be
driving up a mountain. Yeah, there's
going
to be
careful.
A drop on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We gear up and we head off on the trail. Marcy and I are hiking together toward the front, and you and Becky are hiking together toward the back. It's a little bit of a switch because you tended to be with Marcy in the front. I tended to be with Becky in the back.
I was feeling slow.
I usually am slow when it comes to incline, but this morning you were feeling particularly slow.
I was feeling rough. And this may be portended what ended up happening to me
you
at the end of the trail.
You also had, you know, gone out on a bender and went out to so many different clubs the night before. Mm-hmm.
The clubs of Mount Rainier.
The clubs of Mount Rainier. Mm-hmm. And you had gotten in at about 3. So,
yeah, to the clubs.
To the clubs. You showed up at 3. So you were tired.
Mm-hmm. I was a party girl. I woke up, right. I came home with my beads and my glow sticks, and I was like, let's get on the trail.
That's right.
I was just tired by that point.
You are no longer 24. You're 25.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm just hanging out with Becky, which was nice because, as Dusty said, I tended to be up front and tend to be up front a lot of the time. This trail is a ton of incline with a ton of switchbacks. There are some ankle twisty parts on the way back down of it. So we had to kind of keep our wits about us for a lot of this trail. And part of my tired was this was our last day of hiking. We had hiked essentially nonstop, which, what a surprise, for the entirety of this whole week that we were away. And this was sort of like, okay, the last push, essentially.
Becky makes a remark about how dry the soil smells here and is curious about the last time there had been hard rain in the park, which, again, hiking with Becky is a real privilege.
It's like a wilderness school.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that isn't something I would even recognize, or you and I are schooled enough to even recognize. Now we do. We hike up the first section, which is a pretty good incline initially, and it is softer forest stuff here along the switchback. But yeah, just to pause for a moment and say, a lot of switchbacks here on this trail, quite a few heading straight up.
Underscoring what I said earlier, but yes.
That's what I mean. I'm saying, like, I'm just highlighting it and underlining it that it's not a joke.
We get to this footbridge and we continue hiking until we reach the bridge over Christine Falls. Now, we had seen the bridge of Christine Falls and Christine Falls itself 2 days prior.
You can also read the romantic drama novel called The Bridge of Christine Falls coming out later this summer.
Mm-hmm. We had stopped on the roadway on the way down on our first day, and because there was no one behind us, and we were able to get like a very good clean shot into this canyon where the falls were. The upper falls, as you're here, careen through rocks being pushed around until it reaches the crest, which is underneath the bridge, and then falls from there. We work our way up along the river for the first part of the hike, and being able to see some other minor falls along the way as we go is very nice. And this becomes the start of our very uphill climb for the day.
So as we continue along the river, the trail is much rockier. And it's like eventually we find ourselves in an area where there looks like there was a rock slide as small to medium boulders line the trail on the right.
It's like a field. It kind of felt like, reminded me of Paintbrush Canyon, where it was like this rubble essentially that was the whole right side of this like long stretch of trail, which was not as incline-y, kind of flatter, but yes.
We also catch a glimpse of another set of falls on the river. Marcy believes it to be Blauscher Falls, but wasn't sure. But this is where the ascent really comes. So we had to go up really high in order to go up higher. We're beginning to make some major gain here. We come to a point where we're passing some other folks who are coming back down. They note that the mountain goats are on the other side of the river and that they're on some steep cliffs over there. Right here, there's some really good views of the river, and there's a ton of trail flowers out, including red columbine, which Becky really wanted to point out to Marcy, who had missed the red columbine.
Which she had a chance to do later when we were coming down. We continue upward with the river on our side, but we eventually start to wind away from the river a bit. And there's always something nice about hiking next to flowing water, because it is just sort of the white noise of nature. Feels like it definitely gives me, to borrow a term from Becky, it's like brain laundry. It's like I don't have to think about anything because it sort of is just like a constant noise. At this point, after switching away from the river, we get to more of the switchbacky areas of the trail. This is where the trail starts to become a lot rockier. There is still some duff, and for those of you that are unfamiliar, duff is sort of the soft forest floor that's kind of like piled up after years of things decomposing, specifically leaves and branches and needles of pines and things like that. But there is still some duff here. There are more and more random boulders along this trail now as well.
We're continuing to hike. You're in the back with Becky. I'm toward the front.
And Becky pulls me aside as we're walking, and we're just having a lovely chat. And she says, listen, I need to stop at the falls today. She was like, her leg was really not feeling great. So she's like, I can't do too much, but I want to come up with you to a certain point. But here's the deal. I need you to specifically not let anybody else abandon ship. I'll be fine. Don't pitch a fit about it. Let me do my thing. We're going to just keep going. But your job is to make sure that no one turns around. I was like, great, thanks. Putting the mantle of making sure that the hike was still good.
Because this is a group of people. We're all very generous.
We all
want to just make sure everybody's taken care of. And we don't want anybody to feel left out.
Yeah.
We do hit some longer sections of switchback. And it's a little more foresty here. But we do come to this like giant root staircase that we must climb.
It is.
And ooh,
it's a lot. There's a lot happening.
It was fun if you're into like hiking on roots.
It was also like, oh, maybe you're putting your hand down and like using all fours at some points, kind of, because it was treacherous, I think is a word that might come to mind here.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
There are also some very rudimentary built staircases in some of this.
Yeah,
trail.
Like sort of like with a log across and like a flat. Run.
So clearly intention here. Eventually we level out a little bit and we get a beautiful view of Rainier in the distance. And the river is again to our left. Looking across the river, there's some trees hanging on by a thread on the other side. And it looks like they are one or two washouts away from just totally like toppling. But we see the basalt tower you mentioned about the Giant's Causeway.
Well, it had that feel to it. You know, the Giant's Causeway is like a natural formation. Have you seen it when you were there? Did you go?
No.
It's sort of like these, I think they're hexagonal, like blocks. And it's just the way that I think it might be, I'm pretty sure it's basalt. It might be volcanic. And it had that kind of feel to it. That's exactly what it reminded me of.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't get to see those in Ireland. Yeah. I saw photos of them.
We continue on. I am able to pull Dusty aside and let him know what Becky's plan is ahead of her announcing it to the group, what she's going to do. And we conferred, and I was like, listen, she's very certain that she wants us to continue and she'll be fine. She's going to be okay. But she's in a space right now where she just like needs to rest. And I was like, okay. And we understood, and we understood what our assignment was from there on in.
We're along this like sloped cliff edge here, and we come across a set of very tall steps that are log built, and they look like they have like lost all the fill behind them. Continuing up, we're met with some more stairs that take us through a field of rocks. This is sort of where we sort of stop, and Becky tells us, okay, I'm gonna chill out here, y'all keep going.
And this was a pretty good view, like where we were at right here. It was like not like a spot that was, it wasn't a boring spot to sit.
No, by any means. I would truly compare, we're gonna have to go back to the Beauty and the Beast film for a second, but you know, there's that like shot through the forest that they create in that film where like you see like the waterfall in the distance. Then it's,
yeah,
like,
the initial shot. Yeah.
The initial shot. That's what this particular spot felt like. It was composed very similarly. Just as gorgeous, just as green. There's a waterfall in the distance, and then there's like a mountain in the background. I mean, it felt very
much
that. Right. No castle, but you know what I mean? Like Beckley said, I'm going to sit here, which is a really great spot. What a beautiful view. You get to just like sit and take this in for a while.
We just decide to continue on. And as we start to see some falls. But Marcy said they are just the lower falls. Or Marcy tells us that these are just the lower falls. And we have to keep working our way around to get to a point where we will eventually see Comet. And that is a waterfall that you cannot miss.
And with that, let's take our first break. Hey, y'all. It's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you.
Mike, we're playing Life as a Movie.
Oh, okay. Great.
And we're picking a moment.
Okay.
Okay, great. So we get to compose this moment. Your life has become a movie. It's the scene where your character, meaning you, it's your first day of high school. It's the shot of you walking through the hall. What is the song that is playing underneath it? And what does the shot look like? Okay, I've got my answer.
I do as well.
Why don't you start?
So there's a band I really like, Tedeschi Trucks. Try that again. Tedeschi Trucks Band. It's hard to say that. Tedeschi. And they sing this song anyhow. And I feel like it encapsulates that feeling of change. So like the first verse is, running from a bitter taste, took a rest from all the chase, feeling something anchored in my soul. Played the game by all the rules, learning lessons no one gets to choose. It's a feeling of like transition. There's that like transitional feeling that comes with that. And I feel like it's upbeat, but it's kind of slow. I mean, I think the montage would just be like, it'd be sort of like a little bit of like trial and error of trying to discover like what it's like. It'd be like montage-y of like getting on the bus and like staring out the window with the sun streaming in, and then like arriving and like, you know, getting to your locker and not being able to open your locker and like having someone help you with it, and then sitting in homeroom and feeling like nervous and, you know, going through the day, and like then all of a sudden like you're landed in lunch, like the song ends and it's like you've made it to lunch, and like that's sort of when like, you know, all the social stuff happens and you get introduced to the rest of the characters. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
I hope I painted a picture for you.
You painted a beautiful picture. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like the vibe of yours. Mine is a little bit of a different vibe. Mm-hmm. Mine is like, it will start with being dropped off and being very excited. Like it's a new school. It would also be me in the seventh grade. So 12, because I went to a 7th through 12th grade high school.
Oh, okay.
Walking in, and it's like the door shuts behind me, and it's immediately the downbeat of Hard Knock Life. And the montage is me mm-hmm. like getting my locker, going to thinking like, and then it's just like a lot of abrupt things, like door hits, like a lot of locker mm-hmm. hits, a lot of just like.
And that would be like the beats in Hard Knock Life.
Correct. Mm-hmm. All of that.
Ba, 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 ba.
Slammed.
Ba, ba,
yeah, exactly.
Ba, 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 ba,
yeah, exactly. Ba,
ba. Yep.
That was also during the time when Jay-Z had his Hard Knock Life song out. And I feel like there's room for that in there, too.
Great.
The expectation was, oh, this was going to be really beautiful and fun. And, oh, this is going to be a lot harder than I thought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was.
Don't it feel like the wind is always howling?
Don't it feel like there's never any light?
Mm-hmm. Once a day, don't you want to throw the towel in?
It's easier than putting up a fight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody, we want to just give you a tiny little, I guess we could call it a trigger warning, but just like a tiny little like announcement at the top of this act of the episode that we are going to have to talk about a specific area.
Oh,
and the name of that area is Van Trump. So we are going to have to say that word over and over again. It is the name of this place. That word is a word outside of someone's name. Yeah, just letting you know. We take off toward the waterfall. We do begin to descend on the trail a little bit, and we get toward this log bridge, and we believe it's over Blauscher Falls. These falls are very powerful, and they are a low falls.
We end up climbing up the hill on the other side after we get over the log bridge, and we see this stunning view of Comet Falls, and there are a copse of trees here with some sitting spots. This is where Becky agrees to stay. So we talk about it prior to crossing over Blauscher, the bridge for Blauscher, and then we get to this spot and Becky's like, this is where I'm going to sit because like this is where I can kind of like still enjoy the view and still enjoy everything that needs to come from it. So yeah.
Right here is when we're standing there and we look over at the river and Marcy notices that all of the trees seem to be snapped at the same height. We all have a moment with Becky where Becky goes, okay, well, why do you think that is? And this is when Becky gives us like some more detail, like probably snow piled up to a specific point. And then there was an avalanche.
Yeah.
And the avalanche rolled through and cut off all these trees at a certain point. And then the snow melted and has left us.
That was a really cool thing to kind of deduce and then to have Becky sort of like step in and be like, yeah, this is probably how it ended up happening. As we continue down the trail, it just continues to be more and more stunning with each step forward. This is where my camera decides to crap out. It's like, oh, by the way, there's no more space here. And I panic because I don't think I brought my actual camera with me on this day. I was like tired of carrying it around my neck and I was like, I'm just going to use my phone. So this is where I'm just like deleting photos as I'm trying to also enjoy the view because I wanted to be able to still take pictures. We continue along this sort of like, it's a path that's very like ascent, descent, but it feels like a roller coaster track. It's kind of muddy here or muddier because we're getting a lot of spray from the falls. It's incredible. Comet Falls is beautiful.
Comet Falls is unbelievable and worth going to see. We wind our way back up and head toward Van Trump Park. And eventually Van Trump Park is going to like put us on top of the falls. We duck out away from the lower part of Comet Falls. We are now back in the forest. The temperature change, it got pretty cold really quick.
Dramatic drop.
In this section that we're about to do, we're about to gain 1,000 feet over the course of a mile.
Mm-hmm.
There are some switchbacks here, but they are a little spread out, which was good. This was also the moment of like, wow, you saw something so cool and so beautiful. And you did a really grueling hike to get here. Why don't we just do more grueling hike now?
Yep. Mm-hmm. But of course we did.
And we did.
Mm-hmm. It does take a while to grunt up through this forest to Van Trump. This is where we get more and more smaller switchbacks, but also like windy. And it feels like our calves are exploding here. That's a feeling I remember. But it does feel like the forest is older and more secluded here. It feels very ancient. I think the temperature drop also had like a weird effect considering we were hiking pretty warm until we got to the falls where it was cool because of the spray of the falls. But now it's like considerably colder. Here's the thing. A lot of people will just hike to the falls and then turn around because that's a perfectly wonderful hike. But we decided to just make this extra add-on here.
I remember talking a lot about homes, home ownership, and things like that. And the, you know, the possibility for some of us who don't own homes, maybe hoping to do that in the future. But Marcy was sharing with us a lot about the home that they grew up in and how their dad was an engineer and he basically built their house, and the differences between like an architect and an engineer building the house.
And like one is going to just like the walls are going to be straight. And the engineer, and the other, like, not necessarily. Like, I think it was more of like an engineer and a builder, I think, is what she was saying. But we do make our way up eventually through a more narrow trail, which becomes very tight. And eventually we get to a point where we are able to see some snow. We're able to also turn around here and kind of get this incredible view behind us at this point and see like a lot of what we had hiked up, which is really amazing. As we get up here into the snowy section, we notice a sign for what should be Van Trump Park, but someone has taped over the word Trump, and we laugh about this. Because, yeah, resist, yeah. Baby.
Resist. Oh, we loved this. Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. We took a photo of it. Mm-hmm. And we need more of it now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. So, forever and always.
Yeah. If we do hike back there this summer, we should put Toilet 2 there.
Van Toilet 2.
Van Toilet number mm-hmm, 2. Mm-hmm. Big fan of that. We keep moving up toward the top. We reach a snowfield with some other hikers and a photographer. It was suddenly very peaceful up here. That is what I remember.
It was very peaceful up here.
And not that it wasn't peaceful in no. the rest of the forest. It's like literally a grunt up and then it like flattens out.
The photographer was waiting for the perfect view of Rainier. However, unfortunately, clouds. This was one of those experiences where we talked about this in previous episodes. Rainier can just be hidden all day long.
And all this day, covered
was
in
not
clouds.
Completely cloud cover. There were parts of Rainier that could be seen, but none of the peak. It was all just sort of like the bottom edges of Rainier. We talk about what we want to do here. What ends up happening is we essentially lose the trail because of the snow. And Marcy doesn't, we kind of poke around a little. Marcy's like, I'm not interested in bushwhacking up here, specifically through the snow. Because of time budgeting and the potential that we were going to maybe do another hike after, we decided that this was a good cutoff point for us. Again, the hike up was great. And I think Marcy was saying this is all meadowy at a specific melt time of the year. We weren't there at that point. We did miss a lot of the wildflowers, but I'm sure it's lovely to continue to hike up this way.
There was a ledge that we could follow through the snow, but we didn't really know how deep it is or deep it was. And also there was a lot of growth, which means that since the path isn't clearly as marked up here, we could have ended up off trail or fell down, yeah. You know, into a trench or
yeah,
something
we...
like that very easily. Good run on that trail. So we decided to turn around and go meet back up with Becky.
We make good time as we're headed back down. And as we kind of leave the snowfield, there are these steps that are like the log built steps that we'd kind of been periodically seeing on the trail. And I stepped on one of the edges on the log and not like the flat run of dirt. And I slipped and caught myself. So I didn't like face plant. But what ended up happening is my entire back like seized up on me in this moment. It was like, cool. So you made it basically 95% of your trip. And now your back decided to like totally crap out. Yep. And that's what happened. And it was no way fun. And I do deal with back issues from time to time. And I always get concerned on a hiking trip. But for the most part, I'm pretty good. Just like stepping the wrong way sometimes. At our age, can
at
just
our
do it.
At our advanced age. Mm-hmm. It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
And it definitely meant not the most fun for me in Seattle the following 2 days. No. I grinned and bared the hell out of it. But
you did. And
it wasn't
great. We did have to get you some, you know, like...
Extra strength
yeah. stuff. Mm-hmm. To deal with it. Mm-hmm. I hated that you had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Because it was literally like, all you did was...
Step wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
There it was. You would have thought you like would have fallen or something and yeah. like landed on your back
no.
the way it was.
Nope.
In
I think pain. It just was probably days of like carrying stuff and like probably just gearing up for it.
So we end up back down at Comet Falls. We see it again. What a beautiful view again. And then we head off to the left to head toward where Becky was sitting. And then we reunite.
Yeah, she actually started up the trail. She was like, I think curious if we were coming down / wanted to get a closer view of Comet. So she was walking towards us as we were coming back from Comet Falls. And we all were very excited.
By this time, it was so crowded, full of people.
Which we were like, where did they all park?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we were very curious about
that.
Did
the bus drop them
off? Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know.
But we end up heading back to our sitting spot where we left Becky. And we sort of confer a little bit more about the avalanche through this valley and the tree snap along the way, and we eat our 10:30 a.m. lunch here and take a little sploot.
And with that, let's take our second break. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across 2 separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
Willa de People.
Willa de People. Okay, so at this point, she's like a full-on protest demonstration queen.
Yep.
Because that is the Willa de People.
Oh my God, yes.
Right. She is to think like her looks are all patterned off of like a sign, like a really good sign, like from a protest.
Yeah.
And she's patterned a whole look off of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She has different signs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think that like
protect trans youth could be a whole
sure
thing.
Well, I also think that her
hire federal workers,
right,
could be a whole thing.
I feel like her outfits become signage too, like, so her outfits look like signs or look like protest signs, but like, for example, the bottom part of her dress snaps off and then she's in like a bathing suit and that sign becomes
a
leotard and that sign becomes rigid and she's able to hold it up. Like, it's transformative happening.
Yeah. So she can actually be a fashion show that incites protest.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like she's definitely doing a lot of protest music.
Do you hear the people saying?
Probably. Yeah.
Is exactly. Her lip sync.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And she has like plants in the audience that come up for that. And they wave the red and black flag, right?
It's just a red flag in Les Mis.
Yeah.
It's just red. Or whatever flag is part of that protest that day.
I think so.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's that's what she does.
And she doesn't have merch, but she encourages you to donate to organizations.
Yeah,
that help, yeah.
That's right.
For that cause.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
one of our most concise queens, Willa de People.
So, we have a lovely little sit lunch here. Mike tries to stretch out his back unsuccessfully.
I have these therapy balls that I travel with now all the time, and they're kind of like a foam roller, but you can put them under specific parts of your body or like wedge them against your body in the wall to help roll things out. I know that I can roll this out later at home or wherever we're staying next, but it wasn't great. Was not great. Mm-hmm.
No. Your back pain likes to like start in one place and then move to another.
Oh, it migrates.
And then migrate to another. And then,
super good.
It's not great.
Mm-mm.
As we're sitting there, another hiker walks up and says, hi, is this someone's phone? And it was Marcy's phone. So it seems that
she had dropped it at some point.
She had dropped it. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I don't even think she knew it was
gone. No. She's like, I think I dropped it before we headed up from the waterfall. Because she's like, that's the last time I had it out. which was
kind
like
people.
Wild.
This is what we have to do, everybody.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So we sit, we watch a marmot along the riverbank. That was
you hate
really
that.
Cute.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Dusty's Marmot Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I know that's who you are. No. And who you'll always be.
That's right. But finally, we do get our stuff on and start heading back down the switchbacks to head back to the car.
Yeah.
Obviously, it took less time going back because we were going downhill. So we were moving pretty fast. And the trail at this time wasn't crowded. And it definitely has rocks on it that at this point in the day are just like, you know, tripping hazards
oh,
and ankle twisting hazards.
Yep.
More for you.
Yeah.
You
I had to
out.
Like really be careful on this way down. This is one of the instances on a trail where the uphill is better. And only marginally so, because it was there was the route section was totally tricky and not fun. We ended up talking about, as we're hiking down, what the rest of our summers are going to look like, because this is still very early in the summer for us, and what additional national park travel we were going to do. There was a lot of talk about Hawaii and American Samoa for Becky and Marcy, and we were sort of like doing some other travel, but also working over the summer. So, or I was doing my summer theater camp, which I've been doing for the last few summers, but it was nice to like, it was kind of a somber moment as we're having this conversation, because it's like, oh, okay, we're gonna get in the car soon and then you're gonna drive one way and we're gonna drive the other.
Yeah.
And it's like, we were only together for a few days, but it was like
the
when
best.
You're with family and it's like, you know.
Yeah.
it's hard to see that separation. Yeah.
We make it back to the car and it is like the parking lot is full now.
Yeah.
Lots of people have parked along the roadside. Marcy
yep.
sees folks she knows.
Of
that
course.
Was so funny. Chats with them for a bit. A lot of people going up on the trail now. We de-gear and we head down to Longmire. Since we're parked at Longmire, this is the perfect time to do a tiny little short interpretive trail called This Is Mike's Favorite Trail of mm-hmm. All Time. This is actually where Mike lives his... Hold on a second. This is actually where Mike lives most of his life. What is this trail called?
The Trail of Shadows, Shadows, Shadows.
Yes, the Trail of Shadows, everybody, is what it's called. What a very dramatic name for a tiny little 0.7 mile loop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a little loop real quick.
Mm-hmm. 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 So we cross the road here at Longmire and jump onto a gravelly path that has snake rail fencing that's very low on either side. Snake rail fencing is like where the posts are horizontally stacked on one another. It's kind of like log cabin is the best way that I can describe it. And it's usually like, it's serpentine. It's not a straight line. It's usually like zigzaggy, but it denotes the boundary of the trail here. This area has a lot of mineral springs in it, so a lot of the interpretive signage talks about the first settlers, quote-unquote settlers, to the area and the use of these springs. There are some wells and fountains and some signage that talks about the spa community that grew out of this area, which was, again, a small part of the Mount Rainier ecosystem.
Initially, this trail is very exposed with this large spring area in the center of the loop. But we go into the shaded forested section from the very beginning. It is a lovely trail, and it is a nice cool down activity from the more arduous hike from earlier. As you can see, if you've stuck with us, we do like to do cool down trails. Some people would be like, why don't you just stop hiking for the day? And we're like, no.
Yeah.
So we get deeper into the forest here and cross some small wooden bridges. We feel the sun break through the trees, giving us a little bit of like a blast of warmth every now and again. But the trees are big here. They're not as big as like sequoias or redwoods, but nonetheless tall. But there was a trail in Sequoia that we did that when we were doing this, I was like, this feels
like
similarly
Meadow?
Arranged to Big Meadow. Yeah. Like, because you're just doing one loop through some big trees. There's like something in the center and there's interpretive
that you can't
signage.
Really walk into. Yeah.
Can't walk into. So yeah.
So we come across a small bubbling mud pot-esque spring around the midpoint of the trail, right on the edge of the geothermal area. And we continue to wind our way around and find our crossing back to the parking lot at Longmire. And once we're back, we take some time to say our very sad goodbyes and we hug it out very, very hard.
We do. This was like, we were all avoiding this moment because we didn't want to have to say goodbye because it was way too much fun to all be together. Truly, because we had to head to Seattle. They were heading to Marcy's house.
Yeah, which was Seattle adjacent.
Yeah.
And they did ask, are you going to go hike Bench Lake? Which is something that they had done on their first day and had mentioned to us as like a good exit activity, even though the park was going to be crowded. We're like, probably not. We're going to head out to Seattle. I think we, especially like with my back and the fact that we were tired from a very long week of hiking, we wanted to make the most of our time in Seattle and go there to quote unquote rest.
That's right. And did we rest while we were there?
We did not rest.
So Becky and Marcy head off, and since we're driving to the airport to drop off the car and then to take the light rail into Seattle, we take some time to repack the car and make sure that everything is where it needs to be and is available to easily get out once we arrive, because we were planning on returning the car and then heading into Seattle on mass transit. We take the time here and we repack everything and then finally get in the car and head to Seattle. All right, let's put Comet Falls up to Van Trump on the Karen Stone scale. I'm inclined to say 8.
Mine's a 7. So we're kind of in the same neighborhood. Great. Yeah.
I mean, steep.
Yeah, steep. Very, very steep.
Steep.
If you're just doing Comet Falls, I feel like...
Less so. It's because of the inclusion that is making it an 8 for me. If it weren't that, I would say it was like a 6.5.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
because of that, I'm giving it an 8.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's the grunt. It's a lot of grunt. I mean, Rainier's not fooling around. Any of the trails that we did, and I'm assuming anything that we do this coming summer, there's going to be no tomfoolery here.
There's going to be no tomfoolery here.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 15.5 out of 20 Karen Stones. And let's end this episode like we end all of our full-length episodes with some Jeopardy-style trivia. Who's gonna start today?
Who's gonna start today? I can start. My Jeopardy is titled The Great Blank of 1812. because of Comet Falls. So The Great Comet of 1812 is a...
Musical. Well, it's called Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812.
Mm-hmm. Which is Natasha, comma Pierre. But Natasha Pierre would be a great drag name.
Natasha Pierre. Welcome to the stage, Natasha Pierre.
Anyway, so you've talked about the show, and I was like, oh, and the Great Comet of 1812 is something that is stated. It's this giant astronomical event that passed through. People saw it. So we have that as a title. It's also, the Great Comet is a small sliver of War and Peace, right? That's where the musical gets
Tiny little sliver.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is all about events that happened in the year 1812, and you need to fill in the blank after the great of 1812 based off of the description.
Great.
Okay, great.
I'm ready.
Got it. For 100. The city of Caracas, Venezuela was reduced to rubble this year after this natural tectonic event, which could be titled the...
The Great Volcano?
Mm-mm.
What is the Great Shift? What is the Great Mountainous Collide?
When tectonic plates rub against each other, we usually get what?
A fault line.
Which creates a...
Volcano. No, I'm sorry. An earthquake.
And an earthquake.
And an eruption. An earthquake.
The Great Earthquake of 1812.
I got it.
You got there. Great. For 200, Spencer Percival, who was the Prime Minister of England, was gunned down this year, which could be described as the...
What is the Great Assassination of 1812?
That's correct.
Okay.
For... 300. The War of 1812 wasn't the only war going on in the world during this time, as Napoleon was marching his way across Europe and taking Moscow through this incendiary measure in which 75% of the city was destroyed. 59 years before it happened in Chicago, it might be described as the...
What is the Great Fire of 1812?
That's correct. For 400, this book of tales by the Brothers Grimm first became widely available to the masses in this time, which could be described as the...
The Great Publishing of 1812?
That's correct.
Oh, look at that.
And for 500, the Watusi, Charleston, and Twist have nothing on this ballroom dance, which was set to 3/4 time and scandalously was introduced in this year, which might be described as the...
The Great Waltz of 1812.
There you go. You got it.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, young Michael.
Well, young Dustin.
The day has come.
Mm-hmm. Did we write a very similar category?
No, I'm kidding.
I mean, we could have.
We could have. We still, so everybody, we write. We both we write a Jeopardy category for each other and for all of you. Every single episode. And we have never once written the same category. We do not confer before.
Mm-mm.
And we let it like organically happen every week. We've come close, but we have never actually like written like the same category, meaning like this is the category and this is my conceit. Mm-hmm. And maybe we have overlapping clues. We've never done it. All right. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is called Comet Falls. The word fall is in quotation marks.
Okay, great.
Every answer in this category is a film containing the word fall.
Great.
Okay. For 100, this 2024 action comedy starring Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling about a Hollywood stuntman back from an almost career-ending accident who has to track down a missing movie star as his next mission.
What is Fall Guy?
That is correct. Okay, for 200.
It's also about me because I'm an autumn boy.
There you go. You're a fall guy.
That's right.
For 200, Adele won an Oscar for this title song from this 2012 James Bond film starring Daniel Craig.
What is Skyfall?
Correct. For 300, this 2006 visually stunning film starring Lee Pace and directed by Tarim Singh about the wild fantasy tales a bedridden patient in 1920s LA tells a young girl.
What is The Fall?
That is
Which
correct.
Which is a great film.
It is a great film. And for 400, this Edgar Allan Poe story about madness and family curses has been adapted for the screen many times and most recently in 2023 as a miniseries for Netflix.
What is Fall of the House of Usher?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And for 500, this 1994 film starring Brad Pitt, Anthony Hopkins, Julia Ormond, and Aidan Quinn about a family in the early 1900s and their experience with war, love, betrayal, and their roles in major historical moments of the century while living in the remote wilderness of Montana.
What is Legends of the Fall?
There you go.
Look at
five
me.
For five.
I'm a fall guy. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.